Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's special teaching in Psalm 6 called Suffering and Glory, a Message of Encouragement.
Though our outer man is decaying, there's no doubt we're mortal. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Notice that. Every single day, we're being renewed. Momentary light affliction, the trial suffering that we go through, is producing. What is it producing, Paul? It's producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Because, brethren, our suffering will cause us not to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. You see, when we suffer, eternity comes a little bit more in view. And we start realizing that we're not going to live forever. That the way that we have lived and how we have honored Christ and loved Him and loved others does matter. That there is a weight of glory that's stacking up for eternity in the sense of rewards and crowns and everything that will be, and to look on His face and to be reunited with people that we have lost, in quotes, glory. Eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? And so, we're on this journey. And suffering and glory go together in this sense. Not glory as in an illuminating light, but glory in the sense that my connection to the Father and my character become more like Christ. And no, I don't like it. And yes, it is no fun at all. And when we walk with each other through the valley, we can remind one another that Christ is there with us. And Christ blazed the trail in His own blood. He knows what it's like to suffer as an innocent sufferer. If you go back and read the book of Job, and read the book of Job with this in mind, that Job is an imperfect picture of the most perfect sufferer, innocent sufferer of all times, and that is Jesus, you'll get a new perspective on Job. Jesus is the greater Job. He's the ultimate innocent sufferer. He could have asked all day long, why? But He endured the cross for the joy set before Him to honor God the Father and to love us into the kingdom. And I cannot parse every level of this so that we're all satisfied with it. I don't understand a lot of it. A lot of it hurts my heart. It confuses me. But the reality is that God is reminding us that we need to live for what will actually last. None of us are getting out alive unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. And that may happen, and He may come back in 10,000 years. I don't know. So that energizes us also to live for what matters. But I want you to go back in chapter 4 to see another reality, and it's in verses 3 and 4. See how much time I have. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, as we move in this world, we deal with the world and the flesh and all that comes with it, but we also have a spiritual enemy. And we know that he was defeated at the cross, but yet he's still on the prowl. And we live our lives in the midst of spiritual warfare. And you cannot underestimate that reality. As much as some of you want to dismiss that, you know, right out of hand, and maybe some of you spend too much time focusing on it, there's got to be a balance. But we have an enemy. And sometimes that enemy will get into our heads, especially if we're going through suffering or stress. Turn over to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10. And Paul is talking about the warfare. It's happening in the church. It's happening with people. It's happening, you know, sometimes we get blindsided by another Christian who hurts us. And here's what it says. Verse 3, chapter 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, as someone who loves apologetics, I've used this verse. I've taught this verse. I've read it many times. I've used it in the context of a world of ideas. Ideas have consequences. And evolution is an example. It's raised up against the knowledge of the living God, what the Bible says, and it needs to be defeated with truth. And that's certainly an application of this verse. But these verses became more personal to me in the last few months, because what struck me is that Paul, I think, is also saying that what we all battle with is our own thoughts and fears, our inadequacies, our struggles. Sometimes we have a situation, or we're anticipating a situation, and all of a sudden we begin to build this mountain of fear in all the what ifs, and it begins to snowball in our minds. And we have a battlefield going on in our minds, and we can walk it out. Some of you struggle with this. You walk it out to the worst case scenario, and all of a sudden this little thing becomes a monster in your mind. And it's tearing you apart, and it's an unseen battle, because unless you share it, nobody else knows what you're going through. And I believe Paul is saying, every time there's a thought like that from the enemy, who's the father of lies, or from your own mind, or whatever it may be, or you latch onto something that somebody else said, you need to take that thought captive. Please hear me well. Take that thought captive to the truth of what the Bible says, and you will demolish that stronghold in your life and in your mind. So let me reiterate, for the last few months, I've been standing on single Bible verses that people have sent to me, meaningful worship songs that I've played over and over again, and I'm just standing. And every time a lie comes in, I'll give you Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, that's either true or it's not true. And if it's true, then I'm going to stand on it and believe that he will deliver me from all my fears. Amen? And you can start to demolish ungodly, fearful, worrisome thoughts with the truth of Christ and make those thoughts obedient to his truth. Put them in prison. Demolish those strongholds in your life. Walk in truth, and God will give you freedom. I'm not saying it's easy, because I tell you what, going through it, you toil with going back and forth and up and down and wanting to stand on promises that you know are true, but you still struggle, as we all do. You're not alone. So the Apostle Paul has given us this incredible insight. One other thing I want to show you is in 2 Corinthians 7, just a few pages back, of how God works. The man that wrote the verse, be anxious for nothing, also wrote these verses. This is 2 Corinthians 7, 5, and 6. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within, 2 Corinthians 7, 6. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. When you are going through a trial or you're suffering, you might want to isolate. And you may need some time to get away and pray and rest and do some of that Sabbath kind of stuff. But you also need people. Let me share a quick story. I have a friend. He's an older pastor than me. We did radio together years ago. And he reached out to me and he said, "How are you doing?" And I said, I had to be honest, I'm not doing good. And he's kind of been, in some ways, a mentor to me. And he came out, he lives by Magic Mountain. And he drove a couple of hours just to have lunch with me and encourage me. And he also encouraged me on the phone. And I'll tell you what, his coming comforted me. Sometimes when a person that you love and you respect shows up and they're just there to walk with you or to pray with you, it means everything. Our prayers, our presence. We can't be everywhere. So we also have to trust that when we can't get there, the Lord has someone else perhaps, or it'll be covered. But we do what we can to encourage one another.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people. Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 a.m. Turn on the radio. It's on 99.5 FM. And I hear this pastor speak the word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 a.m, and said, "Hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth, because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere." So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, "Hey, where's Michael Lance located?" She says, "Corona." And I said, "Where's that?" She said, "Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road." That was 5 years ago, and my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
We can't be everywhere, so we also have to trust that when we can't get there, the Lord has someone else perhaps, or it'll be covered. But we do what we can to encourage one another. Now, I'm going to have you turn to Hebrews 5, and we're going to get our hearts ready to partake of communion. Actually, turn back to Hebrews 4, and we'll move into chapter 5. So, ushers, why don't we do this? Why don't we start handing out the elements of communion? And if you guys would stay with me, if you're new to us, we are going to hand out the elements. We're going to hold them and take them together in a few moments. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are invited to his table. This is a memorial of his death and resurrection and the hope of his return. If you don't know him yet, this is not for you, but it can be for you if you trust him right now. Because it wouldn't have the meaning that it has for Christians unless you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to trust Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior. So, thank you, Roger. Here's a few final verses, and we'll come to the Lord's table. This is Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, or you might even say our sufferings. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. He doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to impart grace to you. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Flip over to chapter 5 and look at verse 7. In the days of Jesus' flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. So he understands if that's where you're at. To the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Christ suffered once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. God put his love on display at the cross. In Romans 5:8, what I just quoted, Paul uses a merchandising term for demonstrated. It's when a jeweler takes a brilliant jewel, puts it on a dark velvet backdrop, like black, shines a brilliant light on it to emphasize the beauty of the diamond or whatever it may be. And if you're shopping for a ring and your significant other sees that, she goes, whoa, it's real shiny. And you say, how much is that going to cost me? And the jeweler says, oh, it's only 55 easy payments. Easy for me to receive, right? God put his love on display against the dark backdrop of sin, all the ugliness that happens because of sin, and death and God's wrath because of sin. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, God allowed his suffering son to shine out the love of God, as he put it, on display at the cross. He said, essentially, look, there's my beloved suffering for you because I love you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The cross is not just the Son's love for you. It's the Father's love for you. Amen? Jesus suffered, died, and rose again because the Father loves you. Next week, we're going to talk about that love. But right now, let's remember that love as we partake of communion together. In Luke 22, Jesus said to the apostles, I've longed to share this Passover with you before I suffer. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, thank you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. I pray over this precious congregation. Those who are visitors today, I pray over them. I pray that each one would realize that the God of the Bible sent his one and only Son. He sent God the Son to pay the ransom through his suffering and through his death. And now he is risen. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious. Would you bring a balm of healing to those who are broken and hurting, those who have just gone through loss or are suffering, physically or otherwise? Would you mend them? Would you give them hope that their suffering has meaning? It's not for nothing. And as hard as it may be in the moment, it's building up a weightless comparison, an eternal weight of glory that it'll all just fade away on that day, O Lord. As we go through it, may we press into you. And if we're doing well right now, Lord, may we rejoice for all the good days you've given us. And may we be a blessing to others. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, cry out to him. Say, save me, Lord Jesus. I don't understand every angle of this gospel, but I know if you were willing to die for me, live the perfect life, die for me, rise for me, defeat death for me, I'm going to trust you. Trust him right now. You don't have to have a perfect prayer. Trust him. If you're a prodigal and you've walked away from the Lord, maybe because of trials and difficulties, oh, his arms are wide open. He loves you. He'll be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Thank you, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?
You've been listening to Suffering and Glory, a message of encouragement, part 3 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Psalm chapter 6. And if you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to see who's listening to Walk in Truth. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can find us at Walk in Truth Show. You can also leave us comments or questions there. Remember, search Walk in Truth Show on Facebook or Instagram. You can also find them on walkintruth.com. Now, here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, as we finish up this message on suffering and glory, you know, when I had a chance to pen the book we've been telling you about, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, I wrote the opening section, the introduction of the book about this topic of, can suffering and glory walk together? And you know, suffering and glory walk together in the person of Christ. He suffered, but it ushered him into his glory. And I kind of walk that out in the introduction of the book, as I've tried to do in this message, to let you know that when you're suffering can make you a little bit more eternally minded. Suffering can teach you that this world is temporal, that we're not going to last forever here. It can cause you to press into God. It's never fun, and don't get me wrong, I don't enjoy it and nor do I pray for it. But I will say that when it does happen, and inevitably in a fallen world it will, there's some redemptive qualities to it. And I hope that as you listen to this message, you've been able to grab onto some of those for yourself. And we'll see you right here next time. Love you. God bless.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's new series in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a brief yet profound narrative found in the Old Testament. It tells the story of a prophet named Jonah who's called by God to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, a notoriously wicked and enemy city of Israel. Instead of obeying, Jonah attempts to flee from God by boarding a ship headed in the opposite direction.
Now, some people who look at the Bible critically say, well, maybe the story of Jonah is satire, or maybe it's allegory, or maybe it's a metaphor for something else. No, that's not what the story purports to be. And we do know that some people have gone out of their way to try to prove that perhaps this can happen. We know that probably the most famous story of all stories was the story of James Bartlett, who in the late 1800s apparently was swallowed by some sort of sperm whale.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.